Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
I look like I did.
You look good. I want to get my hair braided so bad, but girl, the girl done fell out with me.
Oh no.
Well, she been braiding my hair for over 20, God, how long she been braiding? 25 years. Mm-hmm. And I asked to see her COVID vaccination card.
And the problem is what? She didn't want to show it to you.
I showed her mine. what they say when you play house, I'll show you mine.
Right.
But, you know, this is about my life, my safety, my family. This ain't personal. And I'll tip her a little extra for her inconvenience. But if you ain't going to try to meet me halfway, at least call and have a conversation with me after 25 years, I ain't feeling you.
No. And I get my hair done again this afternoon. So someone says, don't you let your hair down. I'm like, honey, you don't understand. Working out, I almost pass out.
I know. Well, lucky for you that you won't pass out here on the edge.
Right.
The place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp and the responses are never dull. You caught us in the room, brains. Yes. Yeah, let's do it together. Ooh, we move it out your face. I want everybody to see all that pretty lusciousness. Brains, that is B. Jacqueline Jitter. I just love this woman. I love her because of a few things. Number one, she's highly visible. She knows how to market. She knows how to get her message out there. She knows about visibility. She's a very high profile scientist. Oh, what a big brain. That is such a turn on. And she, you know, works in pharmaceuticals, oncology. You know what that is? That's the blood, right?
Cancer.
Oh, cancer. Yeah, cancer. Oh, gosh. So she, you know, she knows what she's doing, but also she's got a passion for transformation. Yeah. She wants to help people change. She wants to help you live your best life. And how she does all this, I have no idea. And then got time to work out and get her hair redone. So, Braze, I want to welcome her here on the edge with me. I want to, you know, color her in love from A to Z, because she's doing a lot of things. And, you know, for a sister, yes, I said sister of color, okay, we gonna really got a lot on your shoulders. You're carrying the gauntlet for other young women that are interested in science and research. It is not, you know, anything uncommon. It's just under-discovered and underutilized. And I really want you young women to pay attention to this because, you know, lack of a better term, nerd is sexy, baby. You better get with the program. You better get, and it pays.
Yeah.
So pay us a tribute and let us know a little bit more about you, B. Jacqueline Jitter.
Hi, thank you first. Thank you first, April, for having me on. I am just excited about this. I am B. Jacqueline Jitter. I reside in North Carolina. I am an actual North Carolinian, and that's kind of rare in this area because we have so many transplants. I am a scientist. I am a pharmaceutical development scientist, and I've always liked science. I was that kid that was laying in the grass watching, you know, the ants grow across each blade and just really nerdy. And my passion really has always been science and really discovery and growing and understanding as I've gotten older and as I have had many opportunities to explore life. That transformation, that passion just really went more so, has been going more to people. And I see, like you said, our younger generations that are in the STEM space, but they really don't step up to the STEM space. They have that understanding. I have a great niece who already knows she wants to be a physician and a neuroscientist. And she's very focused, and so she will be that. So that's no deterring her from that. But just seeing that and have that compassion to really help young ladies and also our sisters who never had the opportunity or didn't have the support to break out of that mindset. So what I do is I equip women 40s and older to break those limited mindsets that's held them back in the darkness so they can actually step up to their brilliance and be everything that God intended them to be. Because I really believe that God did not make us by happenstance. He made us that we were, he made us on purpose, by purpose, and for purpose, and that they, we're leaving a void in the earth and in somebody else's life, and we don't step up and let our own light shine. So it's time to stop dimming your light and up your wattage.
So what did your parents think when you were really into science?
Well, I was born, I'm the youngest of five, and I was born to older parents. So meaning my dad was 51, my mom was 46, 48 when I was born. And yeah, when I say older parents, I mean older parents. So they just, I think I wearied them, but I had an older sister who actually helped foster that. So she was, you know, she helped foster that discovery. She was an educator. And so my parents also supported that. I mean, my father, of course, they made sacrifices for me to go to camp and things like that, to science camp and stuff. And I remember being bullied because I'm a nerd and I love it. Like you said, nerd is sexy. I remember being bullied. And I was like, you know, I knew I was different. I knew that God made me a brain. I knew that he gave me brains, but I was like, well, no one likes to hear all that. And so I remember my dad telling me, he goes, they'll pick at you today, but they'll work for you tomorrow. So stay focused.
And those are some of the people that your brilliance is probably treating right now. So what is it like being in that space, being a woman of color, studying cancer? I know that you see so many of us that come through there because of deficiencies or because of lack of affordable health care and resources in their community. How does that make you feel internally, really, the work that you do? I'm so impressed.
Well, I'm on the clinical research side. So I don't get to actually see patients, but I do get to see studies where there are drugs being developed that don't have enough representation of us. And a lot of it, we always, people always say it's because of the Tuskegee experiments, because of Henrietta Lacks and things like that. And whatever it is because of, we have to understand that none of us are alike, even in the African-American community, even in the own family, they're not, none of us are alike. And so we do ourselves a disservice when we do not participate in clinical research. It is not like it was a gabillion years ago where they could just take someone and do research on them. It's very regulated. So one thing that I've been in this arena since I did preclinical toxicology, where we're actually testing the safety of drugs. And then I moved over to the clinical side where we're actually testing further safety in actually in person. And so the thing that I like about this is I used to want to go in just to be a physician. I actually want to be a forensic pathologist. And my mom was sick. She had cancer. And she had it when I was younger. But then as I got older, she died right before my 21st birthday. And so just remembering just seeing her and just knowing all the things she went through. And like, why can't they find something for this multiple myeloma, which is a cancer of the blood? And I'm like, why can't they find something to treat her? Why, you know, what is it, what is happening in the body and what's happening in her body that they, and what, well, there's no meds. So I wanted to do the research to get down to the nitty gritty behind it. And that's how I switched from going to medical school into really doing research. And so the thing that makes me feel like I'm helping someone, I'm helping save someone else's mother.
Oh, wow.
The research that I do.
Or I'm helping children. Right, exactly. Okay, I'm going to ask you one more question with regards to that. This is probably not your actual thing, but you understand it. The vaccine. I am very fortunate to, well, when I could get out, to work with people at the Salk Institute, Science Research, UCSD, you know, a lot of big brain scientists, because I dig science. And they think that this vaccine, absolutely, they think this vaccine just sprung up overnight. Well, it didn't, brains. Okay. They have been working on this for eons. Okay. Fauci had been over there in the bed with the Chinese. He knew what was going on, but they did not throw the money behind getting a vaccine because it wasn't pivotal. It hadn't arrived. It hadn't formulated yet. And all these different strains. Can you talk to us just a tiny bit about development of these types of vaccine and kind of the rigorous testing that it goes through. Because they think it just popped up within 6 months, and it didn't.
It didn't. So usually a drug takes about, you start out with, I'll just use a crude number. You start out with 50 potential products or potential discoveries for something. And it dwindles on, it goes through a funnel. And as you go through a funnel, only things get through. So they go through extreme testing from the bench, meaning there's scientists that are looking at this, is this formulation correct? Is it going to do this? I did preclinical toxicology. So when we did that, you look at things in rats and mice to see, is this drug going to cause anything at these high doses? So you have things that are like at high doses that you give like to the mice to see if it's going to cause like cancer or some other kind of malady. Is it carcinogenic? Is it teratogenic or things like that? And so that's a dose that's like 1,000 times you would give to a human for one. So then you collect your data to say, this is either safe or it's not safe to go to the next stage. And the next stage would be first time in human. And usually, except for, you know, things like cancer disorders and even like for vaccines, they actually did this though. You introduce the drug into a healthy individual to see if anything impacts their body. Not all drugs are able to do that because some of them may have some type of biological type effect on someone's body, and they already know that. It's the nature of the drug. So whether you're taking an Advil or you're taking a vaccine, there's been rigorous research that's been done on that before it gets to, because it was very, very regulated. So drug discovery has four phases when it gets into clinical side. Phase one is first time in human. Phase two, studies, you're now looking at the study in a smaller, about the same kind of size amount of population, but now it's with the people who actually have the malady that you're trying to treat. And then phase three is a bit larger, more global drug. And then phase four is usually kind of right at or after the drugs have actually been released or approved, you're doing post-marketing surveillance, so to speak. So with the actual vaccines, this vaccine didn't pop up out of the blue. If you remember, we had SARS before, and SARS and COVID are very similar in the same family. They're cousins, basically. So they had that research and that stuff there that they could actually look back on and see, this is how this is kind of mimicking, because the SARS, because the virus that was from SARS looks very similar to the COVID-19. But on COVID-19, the spikes of the virus are like a little bit longer and bigger, and they're more, from what I understand, they're more numerous. So that's why it's so voracious. Mm-hmm. And it's also more highly contagious. So by the time that SARS actually was eradicated, so to speak, or dealt with, the vaccine didn't get approved until like 2 months after that. Mm. So a lot of things have changed in the regulation of drugs throughout the years with the FDA. They now have these things called fast track or this discovery. Because this is a pandemic that we're in, and because so many, and it's so, the actual virus is so lethal, and so many millions of people have died, they fast track and they do this thing called conditional approval, where they know they have the data. And when I say data, it's not like a page or two, it's like volumes of data. When we've done approvals before and drugs I've worked on before we became very electronic, literally there would be a U-Haul truck full of data, packed full of data that was driven from where I am in North Carolina up to DC with someone from the facility and with security. It would be volumes of data. So the fact that the FDA has been able to review this, it may have seemed like it came out of the blue. And then they may have seen that it actually took them a long time to review things, but they needed to do that because of the status of things. Usually with vaccines, they go through so many more levels, but depending on the actual situation, and we're in a pandemic, and it's, you may have to accelerate some things. That's why they don't have approval yet, but they have conditional use. That's a little bit.
The thing is, too, also, Brains, we are all different. You know, people always like to say, oh, well, we're all, yes, we all have blood running through our veins, but the DNA and all of that is a lot different. But this is a different type of medical vaccine, because it goes in and it actually talks to or genetically modifies the cell, which has never been done before. Am I correct with that?
Yeah, so what it does, it helps to tell your cell you need to have this protection. So usually if you get a cold or you had the flu shot, you already have antibodies there. And your body knows that, okay, here comes the flu trying to get through the door. Send the troops after the flu to stop it from getting in. Your body doesn't have any protection like that for COVID because it's never seen it before. So with the actual, the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines, they are mRNA strands, which means they don't really mess with your DNA, but they talk to your mRNA to tell them you need to proliferate this particular antibody. And I'm really making this a crude assessment. You need to proliferate this antibody so you can protect yourself, because there's something that'll be coming, you can protect yourself. Right. Now with the Johnson & Johnson, it's called a vector, so an adenovirus vector. So it's a little bit different in how, but it has the same output of that. And it's kind of too detailed and intricate to get into the differences between those, but it talks to your mRNA and not really your DNA. So it's not really altering your DNA. Some people think that, you know, it's changing who I am. It's not. It's just telling your body it's getting to the core of telling your body quickly that you have an intruder that's coming, or you have an intruder that may come and you've never recognized it before. And I'm actually helping you build up some troops to fight against it.
Okay, Brains. I don't know how much more simple it could be. Now, you know, and again, folks is dying every day. I had tickets for a concert and the concert was canceled. I tried to get my money back. That was a whole argument within itself. But then I got to thinking, I said, you know what? This is such a first world problem. You know, a minor inconvenience. Who want to go to a concert with a mask on their face? I wanted to fan out.
Right.
And this is really, really intense. So you have another passion. Writing books. You have been a part of numerous anthologies that have went to number one bestsellers. Tell me a little bit about your writing and what do you have in the pages of those books?
Those books, again, I'm also known as the Encouragement Ambassador. I think you've seen that. Mm-hmm. And all those are just encouragement. It depends on the book itself. Most recently, I was in a book with Dr. Cheryl Wood and D. Les Brown, and it's called You Are Enough. And that basically ties into the passion for transformation. They all have to do with transformation. And in this book, I talk about being, you know, allowing your lights to shine. I think so often we have become very programmatic or Stepford wife-like. And someone says, oh, you like a preacher. You like this. You like that. It sits in our psyche. We're like, well, maybe that's what God's called me to be. Well, you really don't have a desire to do it. Or you may do something well, and it's really not your calling. It's just something you do. In that space, in those books, I really share with that. One pivotal turning point of a book I was in was called Dear Fear, with this young lady named Tiana Patrice. And in that, we talked to our fear. We wrote a letter to fear and told fear what it was not going to allow to do. So mine was, Dear Fear, you can't have my reset. And that kind of tied into my story of where I was at that time and the transition I was having at that time, and that discovery of transformation I had during that transition. So the transition that I had was, I worked for a pharma company, perfect place to work in my mind. And they, you know, because of a reorganization, they gifted several thousand of us back to the other side of the welcome mat. And most of us felt that, you know, especially in my mind, I'm going to retire from here. You know, I've been here for 23 years. I knew nothing else. And so it was like starting over.
But I always joke and say, oh, they giving you a golden handshake. They did not. They gave you the middle finger.
And a foot in the back.
Okay.
You know, they took care of us in that transition, but it was like, well, what do I do now? I'm starting over. I mean,
right.
I'm like, what do I do now? I was just kind of weird. I'm like, I'm supposed to be, it's supposed to be, it's like a breakup. Like, we're supposed to be together forever, kind of sort of thing. And so I had to rediscover Jackie and say, okay, you are more than this company, and this company, you fit into the blueprint of what this company was doing, but you didn't fit into the blueprint of who you are. So you learned a lot of things, but truly, who is Jackie? So I had to step back. I took 3 months out of any kind of work, and I really just thought about a lot of things and just really sat before God and listened to him. And he kept pointing me to, I became, in addition to my, you know, day job, I became a job plus coach. And I love that. It was just like, I love this. I can't, I've been doing this mostly seemingly all my life, but I really loved it when it came more formulated and more, I had more of a clarity of what that would look like. And so that certification, I went back and just thought about that and went back through my notes and stuff and just really felt that's where that transformation was coming from. Because what happened also during that time is that I had several former colleagues at that time were saying, you know, I know you have a plan, so help me get one. Because I don't know if I want to continue in this realm. Right. I don't know if I want to do something totally different. I don't know if I want to just, you know, take my money and run and do something like start a bake shop. So I took them through a series of that Goddess Raised Debate. It was a beta where we went through a series of just discovery. So the first thing was really self-discovery to refresh your mind. Look at all the things that you've done. First, you got to unload. Before, it was traumatic for anything that you go through next after a trauma. You have to step back and really kind of see where you are.
Absolutely.
And so in that, we were able to unpack that. And so, and then the next step we took them from is, was really understanding you're badass, because you are. You just weren't here breath of bridges. You were, look at all the things you've done. And these are things that I did for myself during that, you know, those 2-3 months as well. And realize that you had accomplished so much. Now look at what is it you want to do, and these strengths and these things that you discovered and rediscovered about yourself, how do they fit into that? And right. Do they fit into that? And what do you need to focus on? So that's where the transformation comes in, when you have that light bulb go off and say, I really have learned a lot and I've done a lot. I think because right. We as women, April, is that we as women, we can multitask. We take on so much. I think Erykah Badu had this song called Bag Lady. We carry a lot of bags. And anyone with a purse is going to be a lot of stuff. And so we have so many things and we lose our own identity in that.
Right.
And so this transformation, the Refresh, Renew, Reset is one of my master classes, is to help women really kind of discover themselves. And as you get to your 40s, you start hearing, you know, your clock is ticking if you're not married or you haven't had children. Or as you get older, it's like, well, you know, they start kind of skipping over you, so to speak. You got the the best 20 at 20, the best 30 at 30, the best 40 at 40, but no one has the best 50 at 50, because they think that, you know, it's over for you. It's too late.
Right. You have been. They don't know. The party has just started.
It's just starting. It's just starting. And that's something I've learned. It's like when I woke up, when I became 50, I was like, I'm like a different person. It's like somebody who a true serum or something. It was just.
And I'm headed towards, I got a birthday next week, and I'm headed towards 60 next year. And I'm looking forward to it, because I say, you know, 60 going to look good on me. I'm not going to live 60 like I lived 50. But I look back and I just got news today that someone else passed. The Lord is calling them home.
Yeah.
Okay. And rapid numbers and quickly.
Yes.
You know, and so what I'm concerned about, Jackie, is us that are left behind.
Right.
Okay. Because we got to deal with this mess. And, you know, you've been hearing all your life, we living in the last days. Well, it is here. And you are a woman of faith.
Yes.
Deep rooted faith. How does your faith hold you up and guide you through all of this?
It gets me know that. So this is how Holy Spirit deals with me, because I have to be kind of sometimes in your face type thing. I was sitting one day like, oh, I'll do that right there later. I'll do that later. I won't do that now. I don't have time for that. And I literally heard in my spirit that arrogance is the thought that you control the next second. And I was like, ooh. And so
I know. I get that too. When he sits right next to me, I'm like, let me scoot over. Let me make sure you got plenty of room. Because it's an awakening. It's an epiphany, and it's a voice, and it's a feeling, and an energy that you can't, you know, you cannot deny.
Can't deny it. And so how my faith is remembering that I'm not in control of time. And so I was listening to someone the other day, they were talking untethering yourself from time and living in the supernatural, because you hear all the time in the Bible, suddenly in the same self hour, this and that. God can do anything anytime he wants to.
Yes.
And so what this pandemic has taught me is to really, especially when I'm faced with myself every day. Not that I wasn't before, but you know, you could go out and see friends and do this and travel and all that. And you can get people getting back to that point, but for the heat or the intense time of the pandemic, I was face to face with me every day. And I had to really kind of just do inventory. So I had to think about, you know, there were times I was like, God, I don't know what's going on. I'm kind of scared. I don't know what I should do. And then I thought, why am I afraid? Because I don't know anything anyway. So how my faith holds me up is I have to really trust God for the next breath, because he's the only one that knows it.
And amen. I'm in that 110%. Again, because we walk by faith and not by sight. So let's play a little game.
Okay.
I'm gonna ask you some random questions. I'm just going to throw out some stuff, and I'm going to see what you come back with.
Uh-oh. Okay.
The first one is I'm going to ask you, if you were an animal, what animal would you be, Jacqueline?
Oh.
And why?
If I was an animal, what animal would I be? I would say the first thing that popped in my head was a panther, and I don't know why. No, okay. I think if they're sleek and there's something different about a panther, because you see the lion gets all the lion of the jungle, but that panther is amazingly just different. The panther's just a different animal. And I think that's why, because it's just a different, and I know that I'm a different person. So,
you know what I'd be? I'd be a party animal.
I love it.
For sure. What's your favorite color?
Red.
Why?
It's just something about red. It exudes this energy to me, and it looks good on my skin.
What's your favorite car?
My favorite car would be, as an SUV, it's an Audi Q7. Because it's fast and sleek.
You see, now you liking things that are fast, sleek, hot, red. Go on with yourself. What is one thing that people probably don't know about you?
Wow. A lot. That I really am quiet. I think people see me laughing, talking, joking. I am pretty much introverted, but I am, for the most part, quiet. And my most favorite time or favorite thing I like to do is to be at home and watch movies.
What's one of your favorite movies?
My favorite movies. Oh, gosh. Wow. Well, my favorite movies would be, well, this is one of my favorite all time. It's The Sound of Music and The Wizard of Oz, because I like music.
The Wizard of Oz, too. Yeah.
I love it.
That's my favorite movie, absolutely. Because it's so magical.
Well, my favorite modern movies would probably be that I've watched over and over again. Oh gosh, I can't think of it. Oh God, I see it. It's the one with Sanaa Lathan and Taye Diggs.
I know which one you're talking about. Love the Basketball?
No. That's the one with her and Omar Epps. This is the one where she why can't I think of the name of this movie?
We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
let me ask you about what is your favorite food? What do you love to eat?
My favorite food, anything with potatoes. I love potatoes. So baked potato, I love potatoes.
You love potatoes. Mm-hmm. If you had a superpower, what would it be?
My superpower would be to, wow, that's a good one. What would my superpower be? My superpower would be to be invisible.
Really?
Yeah.
I would be the time travel.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
I would time travel, girl. I'd be everywhere. I would be in 30-30. What are three things that you just absolutely cannot live without, Jacqueline?
I cannot live without peace. I know that's not tangible to people, beautiful. But to me, once I've had my peace disturbed, and I fought too hard to get it back, I cannot live without peace. I have to have that. My phone. It's sad that I've become so attached. There's one little thing right here.
You had it right there with you.
Yeah, it's right here beside me. Because it keeps me connected to, you know, family, and it keeps you connected to just really life in that general. And the last thing I say, well, can't live without, is really God. I mean, I know, I knew she was going to say that, but it really is true. Because
I knew she was going to say that.
But my nephew and I were talking about this. I said, can you imagine what your life would be like before God? He goes, I don't want to. It's scary. I know. It's just scary. So I would say peace, my phone, and God.
Well, you are a brilliant woman. And you bring a lot of peace and joy. I watch you. You come on. You have motivational messages. They're short. They're sweet. They're very to the point. They're very direct. And I resonate with them. And I share them all the time on my page because I want people to connect with you. I want them to understand that this is a big brain, a scientific brain with a big, compassionate heart that is really trying to help us transform. And she gave us a phenomenal definition of transformation because I was going to ask her because, you know, folks throw that out like a $2 bill. Oh, transform, transform. Okay, so what you going to do? Turn me into a frog? You know, I really wanted to know what it was, you know, and transformation is different for everybody. Yes. But to, again, have a blueprint, to have a design, to do some self-discovery, to have some wishes and some dreams and some ambitions and a powerful coach right there to help facilitate and hold your hand, brains. You don't have to go on this journey alone, okay? You don't. Because, again, we're living by faith and not by sight. And we don't ever know when our bell is going to be rung. And you got to be ready. You got to be ready to go through that portal and through that transition. So, Jacqueline, please tell my brains how to get in contact with you. I want them to start following you and work with you. I can't wait for things to lighten up so I can just hug you up. And we can get here and we can go on a scientific tour and go through some labs and stuff and do some good stuff and go to some good churches here in San Diego. And maybe I'll come down there and visit you. Okay.
I love San Diego, by the way. So how you can get in touch with me is on Facebook and Instagram at B Jacqueline Jeter. You can also get in touch with me on Facebook and Instagram via Grow, Lead, and Prosper, which is my, I'm a founder of that company. And you can reach out to me via email at Jacqueline at Grow, Lead, and Prosper. My website is under development. So it is www.growleadandprosper, and that should be active in the next week or so. But be Jacqueline Jeter or Grow, Lead, and Prosper on most social media.
Well, we're definitely going to put all that information at the back of this interview. We are also going to, you know, put your link up and keep sharing you because you are a gift. You are a gift to so many Black women, young Black women, you know, you're a role model. You know, I know people don't like to do that, but when people tell me I'm a role model, okay, yeah. Because you're called to duty.
Yes.
And we must do what we must do. Thank you so much for being here on the edge with me and my brains. I thank you from the bottom of my socks, sister, because my heart just isn't deep enough. Brains, awesome. Before we go, I need you to subscribe, like, love, share over and over and over again so we can keep this good stuff, these good juices flowing. And like my friend told me the other day, if you're not on the edge, you're taking up way too much space. Bye, Jacqueline.
Bye.
Bye, Brains.